Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, good evening. Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to The Elevated Places, the show of our dear sister, student minister Ava Muhammad, the national spokesperson then for the Nation of Islam. And we are still going here with Elevated Places. Every Thursday night at 8 p.m. we come to you. So first, we want to remind everyone of the website. Make sure you still go to the website because there's still many of those invaluable products that are still available. That's MinisterAva.com, MinisterAva.com. You can go to, and for tonight's show, we have a special show for you, and I'm Student Minister Rodney Muhammad here in the Delaware Valley filling in. As many have done, we keep this show going. It's such a valuable institution for those of us in the Nation of Islam, and even those that are not registered Muslims have benefited from this great programming, the Elevated Places. So tonight, you can always call us tonight, and we're going to really be engaging callers in the special show at 563-999-3065. That's 563-999-3065. And before we go into any kind of programming, we want to get the final call news briefs from our national correspondent, Sister Charlene Muhammad.
All praises due to Allah. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And yourself, Student Minister Rodney?
I feel terrific. we're about to go back to a full-fledged convention. And so I'm sure so many people will see each other after nearly 3 years since we've been back together full scale like this. So, it's a great time in the Nation of Islam.
That's right. Inshallah, we make it there. Well, peace and blessings to everyone. And I'll start with, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. And for in the news and Elevated Places tonight, we begin with our dateline in Washington, D.C. This is our cover story, Violence Against Our Children Must Stop. In the article, marked for death, our staff writer, Sister Nisa Islam Muhammad, spotlights the uptick in killings of black youth. Now, across the country, black youth are being shot. They're being killed for little or no reason. And boys and young men are disproportionately the victims, but girls and young women are also not exempt from these tragedies. Sister Nisa highlights Karan Blake. He's 13. He was shot in Washington, D.C. by a homeowner for allegedly tampering with cars. Five teens were shot at a Baltimore shopping center. One 16-year-old in that died. Families are in pain and communities are outraged, student Minister Rodney and listening audience. Mm. Here, yeah, there's a 15-year-old girl. She was recently shot in Jackson, Mississippi. And Sister Nisa raises the question in her article, what must be done to save black youth, to keep them safe, and to guide them to a better future? Now, here is a position by one of those sources that she spoke to. Examine your community and ensure your own house is in order. This is by We Are Executive Director Andres Muhammad. My household becomes an example for our community. They have something they can see, something they can aspire to. They can see another reality for their family. The second thing is for me to organize the responsible people in that community, says Muhammad. Now, in another article, Sundown Towns in America, Real or Relic, I begin the story with the black male trucker many of you may have seen or heard of him. He posted his experience in May 2022 on TikTok. He was caught nearly in a sundown town, which is Vidor, Texas. The brother thought he could drop a quick load, and the workers where he met with his corporation told him, you got to get out of here. So the quote from them was, the quote from one was, don't stop until you at least get to Beaumont. That was the warning. Student Minister Rodney, look, I am born and raised, as we say, born and raised in Louisiana, Texas, in Louisiana, all that area, Baton Rouge, that's my roots. And Vidor is about 15 minutes, Southern girl. Vidor is about 15 minutes away from Beaumont. That's about 10 miles. Now, that's on the I-10, and we say get on the I-10 by 10 to get where you're going. And I understood why my uncles would say that, but as someone who grew up in that area, it just depends on why you're moving, what you're doing, and where you have to go. That 15 minutes could seem like a very long time. And I was glad to hear that, or obviously that the trucker, he made it where he had to go. So the report also highlights the reality that this is not a relic of the past. In September 2020, Glendale, the city council in Glendale, California, apologized for the fact that it had been a sundown town and has a history of white supremacist organizations. That alone would have made the city hostile to blacks. And it is well documented that the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, was active in Glendale as early as the 1920s. And that's when it was noted to be a strong organization, including, now get this, is what we know, many of the businessmen of the suburban city as members of the Masked Brotherhood. And the KKK was active in Glendale in the 60s. This is according to that Glendale report. And then finally, in Still No Peace, Reconciliation, No Reconciliation in Sight for Palestine and Israel, Final Call staff writer Brother Brian E. Muhammad informs us that the prospects for peace between the Zionist occupier state of Israel and the occupied Palestinian people are more distant than ever. A deadly cycle of Israeli aggression, state repression, and slaughter of Palestinians has sparked angry protests. And let me bit of it, Brother Student Minister Roddy, so you can get on and have a great show. But I have
time,
to say,
you're covering the paper. That's right.
Oh, praise be to Allah. You know, another, direct personal relationship I have with this, and which is all part of what brings me to the final call in the first place to be allowed. Growing up in the South and having those racist experiences and seeing my uncle and my father and my brothers, but also growing up watching our Palestinian little brothers throwing rocks while my mom's combing my hair, and I'm looking at news from sunup to sundown with her and my father wondering what is happening, why are they doing this, what's with these tanks and these rocks. So this article hits home for me too, because it was one of the reasons why I said I wanted to write for the Final Call newspaper and not for mainstream, when I learned who and what Minister Farrakhan and the nation was. And to be able to do that, and even be able to speak here about it on this institution, Elevated Places, is really a personal blessing for me. But thanks for allowing me to say that. So the slaughter of Palestinians has sparked angry protests, and Brother Brian lets us know that adding fuel to the tension is a new ultra-right government angling to tighten its oppressive reign and denying Palestinians their right to self-determination. The new government is led by, and he came back around, Benjamin Netanyahu, extreme by extremist standards, and is wasting no time proving so, according to observers. Mr. Netanyahu returned from a year and a half on the sidelines after political foes outmaneuvered him at the polls in 2021. Brother Brian continues that the 73-year-old becomes towing a far right wing, no, here it is, he comes towing a far right-wing band of ultra-religious ideologues and nationalists with histories of extremism. This is probably, and let me say, look, here comes his Israeli. Another thing, you know, part of the media, although we have what is called progressive media in the States, you know, I am affiliated and also cover a lot of the Zionists and a lot of the mindset out of Netanyahu and some of the formers of Israel leadership, and it, how it trickles down into the States. It was, you know, I'm just looking at this report and how the Final Call in almost every aspect of just these three stories really touches on part of, again, why I believe Allah blessed me to become a member of the Nation of Islam, but also participating in its flagship paper. But, okay, here's a quote from one of the sources Brother Brian has. This is probably the most right-wing government that's ever been in Israel, and that's saying something. It's not as if they have a history of progressive governments in the country, states the Palestinian Community Network Chicago's Mohammed Sankari. So we may read these full stories and more at finalcall.com, and we invite you to treat yourself to a digital subscription while you're there. And again, Brother Student Minister Rodney, thank you for allowing me to just be myself, and thank you all for letting me to bring in the news and spotlight the Final Call newspaper. And that's it. I pray you have a great broadcast.
All right. Well, thank you, Sister Charlene. And you know what? I've picked cotton before in Tennessee, so, and I know what it's living like down there, where you had to get wood to get the stove started because it wasn't electric or gas, you know. So, you're having to live like that with some grandparents like that, you really see how our people in the South live. And it's so much tolerance down there. That's the reason these people have gone so long being able to practice the way they practice in the South. So I'm not surprised that there's some sundown towns. And just many of the things that are going on in the country. And I think there's some things similar and then some things unique that happened to us that brought us all to the call of Islam through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's preaching.
Right. And may I say before I go, you know, one thing that I think about, too, as I reflect on myself, I reflect on my family from there, I reflect on even us as far north as New York. You know, there's a type of open heart and humility with people there. You know, when Katrina happened, I just wept until the Calvary, as I call it, came. You know, Brother Abdul Qiyam Muhammad was covering what was happening down there in the Houston Center. You know, we were looking at people at the dome, just hearing the dialect. You know, I wept as well as prayed. Let me add that. Just in terms of the spirit of the South, and with, you know, in the spirit of our people, period. But just the kindness, you know, like leaving. People still do that today, not as much, But I do know a lot of that is still widespread down home, leaving the door open. You know, my mom, not like unlike any other, many other moms, you know, she had seven children, would just cook and just always cook. Mm-hmm. I would be like, you're always cooking. We ate. But sure enough, somebody's coming over, and we didn't know who they were. She just kept the door open for wayfarers, you know, had people,
wow.
you know, sleeping over. But we was like, that's our cousin, that's our stepbrother. But they were orphans, you know. So just when I hear about these things like the sundown towns, I'm just so glad that brother made it. He said he got to Beaumont, and he slept with his rifle, you know, but just having to do that.
Well, I don't blame him.
To earn his
yeah.
living. Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you. You know.
Yeah, but that. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I all the articles you went over. I happen to have read those because I try to read the paper every week and cover as many of the articles. And you know, Netanyahu went to school here in Pennsylvania, so
that Netanyahu.
Yeah, he's
yeah.
a rough one.
But you Net.
Oh yeah.
Net ten. Okay. Oh yeah. And then you. But that. You know what though. Well, anyway, let me not just opine too much on that, but I'm like, God got something for Netanyahu. But, you know, mm-hmm. the war of Armageddon has begun. Brother Student Minister Rodney, you know, let me tell everyone, there are, and those are just three of the national stories. There are two national, one world stories.
Oh, yeah.
But there is so much in the final call. There's different there's features. You know, go all the way, go to the back cover. There is so much, and I will endeavor to bring some of those features out and other information, like around the nation, the believers, as well as community partners and leaders are doing very good things, very good things.
Yes.
So
well,
thank
I
you,
thank
sir.
You all. I thank you for being one of our writers
so
and helping us cover. All right. Thank you. Wa alaikum salam. All right, family. You listen to the voice of Student Minister Rodney Muhammad, and I'm covering tonight for Elevated Places, a show founded. It's the brainchild of our dear sister and minister and national spokesman to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the nation. He has always been a sincere student in his ministry, Minister Ava Muhammad, and I was just going over some things that I may prepare for sometime down the road, a tribute. But nevertheless, we have our show tonight, and you know we're hoping this first hour. Whoever I'm talking to right now out there, you know, you get your phones ready. We want you to talk tonight. In this first hour, we're going to really cover. Hearing from you, your thoughts. We're coming in on the 42nd Savior's Day since the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stood up to rebuild the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and to bring to fruition the vision of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and complete the phase of his work that was to take place through him, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, completing the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad here. There's only one thing left, and it has already begun. And we're coming into Savior's Day. The War of Armageddon has begun. It's not coming. We're not looking for it on the horizon. This is a war that began, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, when truth clashed with falsehood. So we've already started what some may call a war of words. But ultimately, this thing will expand and engulf humanity on a global scale, and it will bring about God's judgment and the fruition of his will. We are coming into Savior's Day, and it's the Sunday, which is scheduled for a major address by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, just happens to be on February the 26th, the exact birthday of the Savior who came into North America by himself and set this into motion that we know today as a programmatic thrust called the Nation of Islam to the nations of the world. So we're looking forward to that. our first Savior's Day in the rebuilding was 1981, and so we're coming into 2023. It will be the first open Savior's Day, meaning that we'll be going all weekend, and we haven't come together like this since we closed down after Detroit, Michigan, in 2020. So we are thankful to Almighty God after 3 years. Many of us who believe, and as student minister Ishmael, our national assistant there in Chicago and member of the executive council, always says, it's only a handful of us on this planet. It's only a handful of us just among Americans, and that's some 300 million plus people. But you have to remember, America's population only represents 6% of the world's population. So 94 to 95% of the people on earth live outside of America. So that makes us an even smaller group compared to the human family of the planet Earth. And so we should be rejoicing when we are able to see each other and come together like we will be able to come, inshallah, this February, which is we're really into a countdown mode right now as we get ready to approach Savior's Day. And I looked at something interesting, notwithstanding that we talk about the coming of the Son of Man, which was prophesied, and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad recognizing him from 1931 when he first met this man to 1975 when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad physically departed from us but lived. But in his physical departure in 1975, we had a phase of his work. And by 1977, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stood up again. You know, Abraham was given a promise. Know of a surety, Abraham, thy seed will be in bondage in a land that is not theirs. That land that has afflicted them, will I judge that land when I come, and I will bring them out with great substance. And 42 generations after Abraham's presence and promise from Allah, 42 generations, it produced the Jesus of your scripture. And if you look at Master Fahd Muhammad, we were taught that he studied 42 years on behalf of our liberation, to bring about and effectuate our liberation, took a careful study of 42 years. He teaches his servant when he finds the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for nearly 42 months. It comes out to be more exact, to be 3 years and 4 months, two more months, and you would have had exactly 42 months. And it's interesting that after the world felt that the Nation of Islam was gone and would be no more, 1977, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was actually 42 years of age. And, you know, in the scripture, Jesus is most feared. And he was always feared with the things he said and the things he did, but it was bringing Lazarus forth from the grave that they said, if we don't stop him now, the whole world will go after him. And we can see this prophetic picture in the scripture really being fulfilled in the Million Man March. And what did the Honorable Louis Farrakhan do? The Spirit led him to get up and go on a worldwide tour. The thing they feared is that the world would go after him, and God help us, he went into these lands with millions all over the world coming out after him. And so now we're at this number 42 again, because our first Savior's Day in the rebirth of our nation was 1981, and so three will make the 42nd Savior's Day in the rebuilding, the work of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our Messiah today. So, you know, I'm looking for you all to call in. We're at 563-999-2423. 563-999-3065. That's 563-999-3065. We've had wonderful news briefs coming from our dear sister Charlene Muhammad, and so I want to hear your thoughts about how you feel about the Savior's Day coming. Do you plan to go? Is your family going? What are you hoping to see? Do you have any expectations? And what's going on in your city as people prepare for Savior's Day? So you can call that number, 563-999-3065. And somebody just sent me a correction. I'm sorry. Yes. Uh-oh. Yes, that's Sister Donna.
We do have our first caller, if you'd like to take the caller
okay.
at this time.
Somebody mentioned something to me, I think. I was looking at something.
We do have Brother Hoyle on the line with a comment if you'd like to hear from him.
Yes. Yes, who's calling now? Say that name.
Brother Hoyle.
Brother Corey, is it?
Hoyle.
I couldn't
Hoyle
hear the first name. I'm so sorry. Coyle?
Yes,
Coyle
yes,
with an H as
Hoyle.
In Harry.
Okay. Coyle, H-O-Y-L-E. I was
Coyle.
The call.
Okay, Brother Coyle.
Yes, sir.
Well, Brother,
Coyle, H-O-Y-L-E.
Thank you so much for calling. Thank you, Brother Bishop,
yes,
for the 44. Yes.
Yes. Yes,
Brother
Coyle. I'm happy Savior's Day. The name
happy
is
Savior's
like
Day to you, beloved.
Yeah, you ever heard of According to Hoyle? The book According to Hoyle. That's where it comes from. My daddy named it that. That's where the name comes from.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. No, I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, it's like if we were playing chess or checkers, and you said, "Well, you made the wrong move." Well, we go to the Book of Hoyle. You know. So I'm a junior, so I'm next to my dad. Just give me
okay.
the meaning of it. And I have one
yes,
when I used to some English people, they said, Hoyle, according to Hoyle. So I said, you know about it. Okay, well, I'm getting to the subject. Sister Donna knows about this, and I wanted to let you know, and Sister Charlene, this may be a powder keg in this country with so much police killings going on. It was a brother
yes, sir.
That got shot. Beat up, and he was abused by police, and he died. His name is Tyree Nichols, and this case, it says the U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Tennessee announced the opening of a federal civil rights investigation into the death of Tyree Nichols. This is the third separate investigation into this incident. Nichols was stopped by Memphis police on the night of January 7th, although police have not released specifics about what happened next. And they say that he ran and had a confrontation with the police. And Nichols was injured and taken to the hospital where he died. And they have a picture, you know, he didn't have a weapon and he sustained, brutal injuries, you know, for a traffic stop. So I don't know, Sister Charlene, I know Sister Donna knows about it. And maybe this will probably be in the next paper, but
I heard a debate, a little back and forth between a radio talk show host and a caller about this recent thing that took place in California. And I believe he was a school teacher, but he may have had some substances in his body, but
right.
there was a lot of tension when the police came on him and. It was difficult for the host to kind of defend the person because they were so unruly with the police. And certainly, I think they're uptight. I think they're more poised to hurt us than to help us. And certainly, the writing on the side of those police vehicles saying to serve and protect, we tend to get no service or protection. I agree with you there that there's tensions rising in the land because of how we're handled. But one thing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, that it's difficult to demand civility from these police based on the nature. that we have been taught. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to demand civility as our people grow more and more savage. And the more savage we grow, the more we are really uptight when these people either pull us over, stop us, and without a certain discipline, we can't hold. We tend to explode on them sometimes, and it makes it difficult for all concerned. But it doesn't. We're not trying to shift blame to these victims, because these folks are supposed to be trained. They're supposed to go through. They should be going, if they're not, through sensitivity training and that. But to be in our neighborhood and fear and that kind of thing, I just think it's a recipe for something explosive to take place.
Well, I got a comment, about that. I'm
going to let you comment.
Yes, sir. The minister in New York, he ordered white police out of the black community. I've always said, black police in the black community. And, Minister Farrakhan talked about how he's going to unleash the fiery serpents on us, and force us. And he's telling us as FOI and the Nation of Islam to make our communities a decent, with the 10,000 decent safe places, with 10,000 fearless conflict resolution and all these things we have in place. We got to get moving and separation. The number one thing Sister Ava, Minister Farrakhan talk about is separation. So this is going to force us, this 10,000 fearless, organized to get our, the FOI and the community, the churches, and police our own. Because these people, this police chief we have here, Brother Rodney, she came from Durham, North Carolina. And I'm going to give you some information on that. Most of these police were trained in Israel with the Krav Maga, with, the George Floyd technique.
Yes, I remember reading about that, too. Yes,
right.
Sir.
And this police chief, we have C.J. Davis. I'm proud of her because she was the only one in Durham that stopped that training. And she's in Memphis now. And from what I'm hearing, I don't know what's going on with this case with this young brother, but he didn't have any weapons. He was just stopped. And
yes, sir.
I don't know. They could train the black police to do that, but we have to have sensitivity of our own as our people. But as I said, proper handling other people, if we're going to train the police and take, control of our own community. But this is a serious thing because everything's on time because this new paper says marked for death. And
this is
very serious. Our sister's coming up missing. We're in a serious time, but I'm going to let somebody else talk, Brother Rodney. You do an excellent job.
Man, I really appreciate you calling.
Oh, anytime, brother.
Yeah, really.
I'm calling.
Yes, sir.
I have a comment,
yes.
All right.
Thank you, Brother Coyle.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, brother. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I would like to comment.
Yeah. Who am I talking with now?
Sister Charlene.
Sister Charlene is still with us. All right. Yes, ma'am. Please weigh in. Let me say something before, because I'm talking about these 42s, and the Abraham to Jesus was 42 generations. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, his time came in 1975 at the end, and he let the audience know that day that he defended the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he went into a phase, but the next phase had started. His hour came in 75, which put him at 42, but, he really started teaching at 77 when he came out of the hotel room with Jabril's writing. But, go ahead, Sister Charlene.
Then he emerged, right? I could just imagine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Brother Whitehead was like, I don't know what's going on, but I want in. All praises due to all.
But I want in. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm not sure if that was the quote, but I know that was my recollection of the sentiment. But I just wanted to comment, literally, the reason why I actually shouldn't still be on the call is because I'm in the process of writing my story that is dealing with both Memphis and Los Angeles.
And thank you, Brother Harold, for bringing those up. You know, the people that I've spoken to thus far for the story, activists, student ministers, family members, et cetera, and attorneys, investigators, they all aptly point out it does not matter in the case of what was in the brother or brother's systems, according to what is being put out about them. That is the narrative.
Yeah.
That is always spun, that there is something negative. I mean, one person told me for the interview, if you black in America, you've been through something. And this will, inshallah, be out in an upcoming, if not next week, you know, we will know, issue of the final call. But I wanted to say that, you know, this is how it is always played out. You know, people are downplayed and their points are not heard, of course, obviously, because of your presentation. That's why we're taught not to be vitriolic in our speech. When we are defending Minister Farrakhan and our position
That's
on the
right.
Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the nation in social media or wherever we are, but particularly in social media, don't be vitriolic. You know, disinform, educate, defend, and don't get down into the gutter with people. But not to
That's
digress
right.
too far, there are unconfirmed reports, but I've heard, unconfirmed reports since I'm investigating that these were not necessarily identifiable police that pulled Brother Nichols over, you know, that it was a kind of gang drug detail unit. Well, in Los Angeles, we had the crash unit before, right? And these are undercover. So there were young brothers that reported to me then for the final call years and years and years that they didn't say they were police. They rolled out like they were other sets. Of the tribes.
Yeah.
So, you know,
and that's a difficulty, sister. That is a big difficulty because these people, just like anyone else, you don't know who's coming up on you. And then you're called with resisting arrest or something like that. And you say, well, how, you know, you don't even look at it like an arrest. You look at it like an attack.
Well, it is in their minds.
Yeah.
I mean, how it's playing out on the street. And you can't, look, I think about rush hour. You know, you can't. It's not okay to do that and operate in that I would say lifestyle or that mode of operation, which is street level, and then come out and flash your badge like Chris Tucker, and you throw your badge all over the place. You know, remember, I don't know if you saw Rush Hour, but in that scene where he said, just go in and flash your badge, and he flashed it, lost it, and they whipped him to pieces. But I said that to say that's unconfirmed. You know, that's something that I'm looking into. And also in Los Angeles, we saw on the tape, the brother, Keenan Franklin, he asked for help. He said, someone's trying to kill me. So, you know, he was clearly in some state of mind. I don't know what that state of mind is. I'm not able to determine that. But he flagged down the police officer asking for help. And so there's different protocols and policies. And when you have the police chief, Michael Moore, say, now this is, LAPD is nervous, okay? It's documented. It's not a rumor. Now, when you have the chief saying he's concerned, you know, then what else do we need to see? And also, for those who already have it in their mind, we have it too. We're clearly not talking about all police, but Brother Student Minister Rodney, this is 19 days of 2023. And the sentiment that I'm getting from reports and interviews for this article is that our people are tired, they are not playing, and some are not just taking the traffic stops or some of the unwarranted police misconduct by some of those rogue officers laying down. And so I just wanted to point that out, that that's what always happens. What about let me just add this in. I'm gonna be hushed. What about the toxicology of the officers? You see, when does that come into play? Remember, there's the policemen's or the officers' bill of rights, and Families United for Justice, Love My Blood campaign, BLM. A lot of people, coalitions have been working to say we want the tape, and I'm telling you, they're saying that if this tape comes out beyond the family in Memphis to the community, they're expecting a powder keg in terms of law enforcement there. They don't want it to get out. So thank you,
Yeah,
sorry for that interruption.
I can see it. I think that our people, as the minister describes, I think in study guide
16, the law of God, how he's driving down the highway, he's all by himself, and then this white police officer pulls him over. He's looking for a reason to really do a physical injury to the minister. So the minister says he's got to now act in a way to disarm him. Now, that level of discipline came from him learning from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that that mercy is not even factored in the nature. The man that's standing before him, and he's out on the highway at night by himself. And I'm saying, I'm hoping that more and more of our people who are trying to work in our communities, because we obviously see a two-pronged battle. We see police that, and too many cruel, unjust acts against us. It's killing our young people. It keeps happening over and over again, and we're killing each other. And we're trying to, as Brother Coyle said, we're trying to make our own communities a safe and decent place to live in between all of that. And, you know, it was
it's
the minister
Brother Hoyle
who said, Brother Hoyle. It was the minister who said that it is difficult. He didn't say it was impossible, but he said it's difficult to get stability out of a police force as our people. They're looking at us at our worst, and I know I go and talk to new police cadets that are getting ready, and I had the same speech when I go in to talk to them because I chair the prison board, and I'm one of the stakeholders that goes in to talk to new police going on the streets of Philadelphia. And I said, you know, because you've never really been taught properly, you're going into neighborhoods and zip codes where my people live. They're at their worst right now. That's what you're going to see. And because you don't know what happened to us, you're lacking in the true history of what has happened to us. You're in our community looking for the criminal, and you don't realize our whole community is a crime scene because we've been deprived of decent housing. We got substandard education and all, but they're not made sensitive to those kind of things. And you end up, you know, I tell the white ones also, you end up not looking for the criminal. You end up criminalizing everybody that lives in that zip code. And you look at all of us as suspects. You're looking, and so we're really up against something now.
Brother Minister, now you are right. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to give it all away because, number one, there's still facts to confirm. But when hear about sensitivity, they're trained in sensitivity. They're trained into the sensitivity of the needs of law enforcement. And number two, also, white supremacy is a mindset, as we are taught. It's not always white and brown officers, you know, and it's not always white officers. And people may be surprised about what comes out in this Tyree Nichols case. You're going to have to read the final call newspaper to find out. Thank you, Brother Rodney.
Thank you, Sister Charlene. Wa alaikum salam. And that's good. We have a newspaper that will go after the truth, regardless to whom or what, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches, and do our best to offer that balance, because the more we learn, the more is required of us we learn. And if we know, once I know, and I don't like somebody stopping me, and they have no business stopping me, but to draw up his fire, you know, it takes water, I believe, 212 degrees Fahrenheit to start boiling. But gasoline will start faster, and so his nature is more like gasoline than water. So he's going to be angry way faster than I may boil up, get to a boiling point. He has the badge and the gun and can use the gun and try to justify it with the badge and his line of work. I could get justice, but I think we all can agree it will be very, very difficult for me to get it, notwithstanding I'll be dead. I'll be dead, and he'll be living, and he'll just be fighting to try to stay from behind bars. And so this fight of we want somebody else to change. I understand it, but to keep desiring change from something and someone that doesn't have in their package what it takes to make the kind of change that we want to see, then as Malcolm X used to teach, the real change got to come from our own minds. We have to change our approach now. And it doesn't mean that somebody doesn't want to kill us. It doesn't mean that somebody doesn't want to. Look, this country is built on an arrangement in these races. The relationship has been a master-slave relationship, and we want to change that. And God knows any change we can make in our favor, we're celebrating it. But I think it would be a mistake to think that the other people who have to change because we're making change, no matter how small it is, it'd be a big mistake to think that they're celebrating. And I know some people, they say, well, you know, Donald Trump got in office and got all these white folks upset. No, these white folks got upset when Obama and Michelle moved in the White House. And that's when the gun sales went up. Final Call newspaper reported on that. That's when the number of militias went higher than it's ever been in this country. That's when white citizens, some, used to come out to gatherings where President Obama was speaking, actually have their guns showing. So a lot of what has been seething in the land over the population profile, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan points out, changing, they are not happy with it. And I'm going to say this before I let the next caller come on. We invite you to call in and get on the discussion. I know we're talking about the violence here, but, you know, let's just figure all this is wrapped up in the war of Armageddon. And I'll say this, that if it is the will of Allah that we know ourselves, and Allah's will can't be frustrated, our will is not stronger than his will. And so we're all going to come to the knowledge of the truth one way or another. Then that change is going to produce a change in white America that they're not going to like. And because of that, you're going to see more and more. But there's something about structure. And when a people come under a structure that is tight, the individual that comes out of that structure is well disciplined to the structure that they have been through. And so in short, I'm saying that if white was to be supreme, if you pay attention to what I'm saying, then show me somewhere on earth where white people, Caucasian people, actually serve someone else that's a person of color. Even if they're in the country where the president or the queen or whatever is black, they are not citizens subject to that queen. They're just like the one in the garden talking to Adam in the Quran said, I'm a sincere advisor to you. That sounds like a consultant. And a consultant is not even part of, he's not even an employee of your company. He's not subject to your bylaws. He's not subject to your policies and everything. He comes into these companies hired. He's not even paid the way the other people on the payroll are paid. So this man is in a garden that he didn't bring about, making trouble, and says to Adam and Eve, surely I am a sincere advisor to you. If you look countries where they tell us we need the army, we need to go to war, we need to go up on the defense budget to do what? To make Americans safe from some people that live over there. Well, they haven't killed the multinational businessmen that are over there from America. None of those people have been killed. You can't show me one. And this country has gone, and you got white and black soldiers coming back maimed for life, and many lost their lives. And every day they said the statistics is since the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, there's a suicide among veterans every single day in America. That's the stress that these wars brought on the men and women that went overseas to fight those wars. So I remember the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan saying, be careful because there's something else in the desert you can't see when you go over there. And apparently, whatever it was, they brought it back with them because the misery is going on. They're dying just like they're still in the war, and they've been home a number of days now. So I'm just saying some things for us to consider as we are people who have a cosmic connection with the originator of this universe and everything. And this is a time where all things would be made manifest, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches. So I'm looking forward to Savior's Day. I want to hear what you're saying. So we're at 563-999-3065. That's 563-999-3065. I thank Sister Charlene for those news briefs, and I'm looking for that other the story to come out. And these stories, the accounts, I'll put it like that, that come out in the final call, they just help us to see because they bear witness to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they bear witness to what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been teaching us since he stood up to rebuild this work of the nation. And so the years of looking at let's fight racism, let's fight white supremacy, let's fight discrimination, let's fight this unjust system. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we're under a legal system with no justice in it. We're under a legal system. In other words, slavery was legal, but it was morally wrong. You know, Jim Crow laws, they were legal, but they were morally wrong. But we can't say they were illegal acts because the illegal act was to actually make them legal. And so there were fights to change laws, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us, but he taught us also that while Dr. King and others fought to change laws, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad went after that attitude that set those laws up, because those attitudes, he said, became unspoken belief systems. And those belief systems come out of what? You are supreme, that when their father made them, they came out seeing themselves as supreme. And that's why you can't show me a nation where whites are serving anybody of color in this land. We outnumber them 11-1. And there's more of us on the planet all over. They're going in and out of these countries, and they're not subject to the rulers of any of them if those people are people of color. So that means that the structure that they came out of was successful at giving them a mindset to never submit to us, with us having rule over them. The other thing I wanted to say was, if we stay under the structure that we're being given, then we'll be set on top, and we will never submit again to someone that is unalike. And that's not hatred, because we should be submitting to righteousness, and to submit to them, and they're going to be unrighteous, would only take us out of the character of the very nature we were created in. So, you know, to me, the war is to find a model that we will live in. And now we're finding out he can't live in it, because it says he will not keep and obey the laws of Islam. So he can't live in this model. So we can live in a model, master it, and then make his model obsolete. Because the model that he had, you don't have white as supreme if nobody's up under him. He's only supreme in his position as long as we stay under him, is what I'm learning. So, you know, devoting ourselves to this model of living, we're making his model of living obsolete. getting ready for Savior's Day. So this war has already begun, is the title. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, from everything I understand, is looking so forward to coming out and addressing a full house of us and our people coming out February 26th in Chicago, Illinois again. And we'll be starting as early as Thursday, but we'll be going all the way through Sunday. And so there's big excitement. Some people I know we have in Philadelphia, we've sort of decorated the mosque. They said make it look festive. So happy Savior's Day is all over the place. Balloons are up. You get to Philadelphia, you might have thought we went back into Christmas again, but we're talking about a real Savior now. So I thank the sisters there for really decorating it up for us. We're at 563-999-3065. So much is going on in the world. And the beauty about reading the newspapers today is that the newspapers today, the unfolding of events, they're just confirmations that we have turned in the right direction. Surely I have turned myself to thee, trying to be upright. We have turned in the right direction. Everything, the book that has come, the revelation that has come, it verifies that which is already with us. And we can see it clearer now that the thing that verifies it has come. The one who verifies it has come. So this is a great hour, and we're looking forward to coming in Savior's Day. So much has grown. I was blessed to be at the rebuilding called The Rebirth of a Nation in 1981. We were at the Auditorium Theater in Chicago. I don't know if anybody that's listening tonight to Elevated Places, a program of our dear sister Ava Muhammad, someone else who goes all the way back to the first Savior's Day. Many of us that are still in the nation that were there at the first Savior's Day in our rebuilding will bear witness that many didn't know about the other ones around the country. And the cells were set up all over. And as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan reminded us, some of the cells were diseased. And so as the cells were diseased, some weren't brought into the fold, but our little nation was growing, and by 1981, at the rebirth of a nation, we began to see right there in the auditorium where the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave a wonderful address that night. And so, it's been a journey. It's been a journey, and there are probably some people maybe listening to my voice that have been in even longer than me. I didn't come in until that 1981. I was at the Savior's Day, but I actually joined. I actually became a registered Muslim in 1982. So thanks be to Allah that I'm still here. Thanks be to Allah for all those that started out with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and are still here. And he wants us here as he goes. He wants us here on his return. So I just think that things that will come from this address will be so weighty. And so I'm just in great anticipation of it. The Nation of Islam is about 93 years in existence now. So in 7 more years, it'll be a century that the Nation of Islam from July 4th, 1930, has been in existence. And I mean, institutionally, you don't have too many black organizations aside from the black church. It's an institution in itself that has survived these years. About the only other thing when you get out of religious institutions that have survived would be the barbershop and maybe the beauty salon. That have survived, but many things have come and gone, and I'm thankful to Allah for that. Thankful to Allah for each and every one that has helped the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, past and present. Because we do have to learn to be grateful for whatever Allah gives us that can help us. And certainly he has the power to protect us from that which desires to cause us harm. So, but love to hear from you and what you're getting out of the Final Call newspaper, the Final Call radio, and the various products and books and things that we have now. Since Savior's Day 1981, I mean, the tables look bigger now. I mean, we have a whole research team. We have many in our nation that have authored books, and they go around the country being able to sell their books and that. And some of their books have proven to be very popular on Amazon and other things. So our nation is growing, and you have to build people first. I love something that Ben X said, that many people want to see the material things like restaurants, farms, and different things, but it took a human being to run the restaurant. It took a human being to run a farm. It took a human being to run everything that we had in the nation. Those things don't run themselves. And so we got some callers on, I think. I'm not sure who they are, but Sister Donna, you can bring them right on in, whoever the callers
Excellent.
Are.
We have caller, our longtime listener and commenter, Brother Daryl from Florida, is on the line.
Brother Daryl from Florida. Brother Daryl.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Daryl. How are you? Happy Savior's Day.
I'm fine. Same to you, beloved. I bear witness there is no God but Allah. Muhammad is his messenger, and I, brother, believe and know that Minister Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst. I want to greet all of you all with Happy Savior's Day, and may Allah continue to bless our beloved sister. Long live the spirit of Sister Ava's show. And I thank Allah
yes.
that it's continue to go, because it keeps me going. I can't wait to every Thursday to be on the show. I have a question. I have my granddaughter. And I'm praying that Allah and the listeners and the believers put a prayer in for my granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
She's in her early 30s. She has prostate cancer. We just found that out a couple of days ago. So I'm asking that the believers could put a prayer in that Allah would bless her to come through this. I know the minister has a something going for the prostate when he had it himself, and he had something going on, and maybe I could, someone could get a word out to the minister that we may be able to see, because they want to start her with chemo, and family don't want her with the chemo because all it does is kill all good cells. So I'm praying that she get a speedy recovery and through the healing of natural healing. Wanted to know that, you know, even though I heard sister speaking about how brother had to continue to drive on because of the race, we can't even have a decent job to provide for our family without being bombed by these unhuman people of this racism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing and hearing right today as we speak that they are now opening up schools teaching supremacy, you know, white supremacy. And it's just said, and I just heard, I don't know if y'all heard it on the news. Now, here it is, at that time when we was 4 and 5 years old, and think Allah was born and raised in the nation and went to the University of Islam, we never thought about 4 or 5, 6 years old, want to argue with your teacher and then go to school with a gun and shoot them. We learning to do your ABCs and, you know, learning how to address, and here it is, a six-year-old arguing with the teacher and went in and shot the teacher.
Shot
point
the
blank.
Teacher, man.
This
yeah.
is crazy.
And they couldn't find the gun in the student's backpack, and there was some notification that it might be a gun on campus, but how does a six-year-old successfully hide a firearm from adult?
Exactly.
And they still didn't get it. And, yeah, I agree with you, man. I mean, the most I saw at that age, at six, it might be a school fight out in the schoolyard after school was out or something. Somebody said, well, I'll meet you after school or something like that. That's the most I saw. But this stuff here.
Yeah, imagine a six-year-old. That's a baby, you know. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to handle this when they did one of our younger babies? I think he was, what, 12 or 13? And they charged him as an adult, you know. So what they going to do with a six-year-old? Don't even
I
barely.
You know, obviously help is needed. They'll probably be looking at the parents. I don't think this story's over. And I'm certain that parents are sitting at home who have children at their school saying, what were the parents thinking? What is a six-year-old doing? You know, you tend to not blame the six-year-old for having a gun. You start blaming people for making a gun available to a six-year-old because you know a six-year-old doesn't work a job. They didn't get some money to go purchase a gun. They didn't go to a gun range to learn how to shoot. So, you know, someone else is involved here.
Yeah.
Either indirectly or directly through negligence or something, but six-year-olds don't just go out and purchase a gun from a gun show.
Yeah, and then you arguing with a teacher. I never seen six-year-old arguing. What is going on with the TV and what they are being raised around? Because these children are acting more like they're adults than they are children now because of the influence of the TVs. You could turn TV on now and listen to something 24 hours a day, and if you're not monitoring your TV, you're going to see sex and everything. So our children are being raised
And the music. Yeah, the music.
Yes.
The music is so toxic now.
Yes.
Yeah. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been fighting that to say, you know, you can still make money making a record or a recording that it doesn't have to be about murder and the killing of one another or doing injury and harm. And, you know, we took that pledge at the Million Man March that we would support black artists who clean up their act and show respect for themselves, their people, and respect for the ears of the human family. We took that pledge. And
we did.
You know, if a person is going to put some toxic stuff out here, you're not going to get supported. We're not going to celebrate you. We're not going to come to your concerts. We're not going to purchase your records or download your music because it's not agreeable to us. But, you know, I talk about trying to make our communities a decent place to live. And I said, if you go live among some primitive people, Brother Daryl, right?
Yes, sir.
But if you go in South America or interior Africa and just find some tribes of people who still live on the land and build their huts and everything, if you live with them for 2 or 3 weeks, I bet you'll see that they have a taboo system. That means they got a system, even though they seem primitive, that you can't just do anything with. We have penalties. And we punishments for you violating our village and our community. You can't just do what you want. You can't be a rapist and a dope dealer and everything, and then we're going to celebrate you when you get out of jail, man. We got to set up a stronger system than that. And without a strong code of conduct, you cannot bring about the behavior that you want now that things have gotten this far.
Yes.
You know, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, the way we are right now, we need the law like unto the one that Moses had for the children of Israel. And believe me, that was a strong law.
Yes.
That was a strong law. Right. You bring it back into order. Then you can teach the finer things and hopefully people learn. And then you won't have that six-year-old arguing with the teacher. There'll be a better bond between the teacher and the student, the parent and the child, the, you know, management and labor and government and the people they govern.
Yeah, you know, that's how they cleaned up China with the Oprah, you know. They knew how it was coming in, so they had to make of their own, and we got to do the same.
That's right.
We're killing each other anyway, so the minister said, and I remember like it was yesterday, he said it's going to become a time the jump out boys not going to jump back in their cars, and we're going to have to make a jump of our own by telling them, we know you're selling drugs. If you don't stop, then it's gonna be a penalty. Cut your head off, put it on the pole, and let it be televised. That's how we're gonna have to stop the drugs. You know, because
and I know how that sounds to people listening, but you know, the minister, you're right. I remember him saying, you know, there's a side of him and his rulership. You know, eventually this we're not going to be singing Kumbaya. You can't just keep murdering, raping our girls. Now we're into human trafficking. This thing done got, I mean, some of this stuff when I was growing up was unheard of, but only get worse because there's nothing checking our behavior.
Exactly.
And we're playing the part, but we didn't write the script. Our enemies wrote the script, and we're living by a way that they're guiding us into this unholy, these unholy acts that we've engaged in everything, you know?
Yes, sir.
And we're not going to get better trying to live with them and make them better. That's why our dear sister, whose show we're on, Elevated Places, she was going all over the country. Let me get your name down. Would you sign this petition for separation? Let's do something.
Yeah.
People trying to do something concrete because most of us, we just sit around and theorize about it. Well, we need to separate or we need separation or something. Yeah, do we really? Well, then how bad do you want to separate? So she came in our cities and challenged us. Sign a petition. Who? Let's take a vote. Who's ready to separate and who's not? So I thank you, Brother Darryl, for calling, man. You got my fire turned up. So thank you.
Yes, sir, may I continue to bless the our beloved sister show and long live the spirit of our beloved sister Ava. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes. Wa alaykum salam. Thank you so much. And who's our next caller, Sister Donna?
Next caller is our Minister of Agriculture, our student Minister of Agriculture, and a member of this research team of the NOI, Dr. Ridley.
Dr. Ridley. Yes.
As-salamu alaykum.
Brother Doc. Wa alaykum salam, Dr. Ridley. How you doing? I was just looking at your face today in the final call going through it, that section.
Oh,
I have to prepare myself for the pages you all are on because y'all had your research down. I can't remember quiz of all the doctors y'all have showed us that bear witness. I would fail that test, and that's a shame. My memory is just not good, but I got all the articles there. I can find them quick.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah, we are making. You know, Mr. Farrakhan said July 4th that he wanted the virologists and the doctors and the scientists look into what they're giving us, and then to give us something better. So, like Solomon, who got the gin to die for the pearls. Well,
that's
Mr. Farrakhan has gotten the white and the black scientists to go into the white man's world and hidden laboratory as such and dig out the truth, people.
Yes, sir.
So we're just pulling that together to bear witness to the Honorable Benson Louis Farrakhan's foresight and monumental statement he made July 4th, 2020, that has basically put a banana up the pipe of the enemy's present tactic, his present war against us. He's been at war against us ever since he was made by some people from amongst us. We must remember that they were made from a people that were amongst us. They were made from us. The people who went from Yaku wanted to make everybody their slaves. And so it was made into a race of devils, a race of people who live only to enslave others so they don't have to work. They can get everybody else to work for them. Now, that's
and you know something, Dr. Risley, even those that don't have slaves of them, they can live in a trailer park and barely have anything to eat. They will still, because of the way they were so thoroughly taught, they still will never submit to black rule.
That's right.
You know, they can live in a trailer park. They can be doing worse than you. They don't care how much more money you make than them or whatever. They are made in a way they'll never look up to you.
Well, they look up to the ones amongst
them. I mean,
they
have to look up. They have to look up now that a greater wisdom is here, but I mean, they don't want to. They ain't going out. They're not going out quiet.
Well, they look up to who they consider their leaders. Okay.
Yes.
You know, if you look at a dryer, when it's turning, you can't tell one cloth from the other because it's all in turmoil. Something has
That's
to come
right.
and hit the button to slow it down so you can see what's going on. Now, if we look at the turmoil that's going on in our community, that's expressed by the situation with
that's
the
right.
top, it's just turmoil. But what is at the root of that? And then let's look at the history, just present
mm-hmm.
history, short-term history. You remember the Dope Busters?
I remember them. Yes, sir.
Out of D.C., where they
that's
were in
right.
the projects. With Sabrina
I remember.
Green.
I went in those projects because they gave them some of the apartments. Yeah, right. I remember.
Okay. Now, they went in there. And there was a lot of shooting, drugs being dealt. And
mm-hmm.
they went in there without guns.
That's right.
And were able to bring that into a state of peace and harmony until the ADL went to Congress.
Right.
To the Muslims out of the project, run the Dope Busters out.
All
now,
over the
why
country.
Would they want to run, all over the country. Why would they want to run out people who were peacefully turning that community back from a state of internal war to a state of peace? Well, there was the same people who, if you go back to the Nixon administration, the whole drug war was a war against the black man and woman, in particular the black man. So they were the ones who brought the drugs into the community. And then they
mm-hmm.
had us fight and kill one another over territory within the community, our community. Now, I'm going to give you a true story, not something that I read about, but something that I witnessed in Greensboro, North Carolina. At the height of this drug selling, I watched them. I watched the police watch drug dealers in this community where the majority of the homes, there were black people, the majority of the homes were paid for. They had already paid the 40-year mortgage, the 30-year
mm-hmm.
mortgage. The homes were paid for. And I watched the police watch drug dealers sell drugs until that community was so destroyed that the people had to leave, and they eventually they tore down that whole community. And they rebuilt the community and set up new houses with 30-year mortgages, and there was not a dope dealer to be found anywhere close to that community. Now, I watched
mm-hmm.
this with my own eyes. So they brought
mm-hmm.
in the drugs to destroy the community, to destroy the property value
oh, yes,
of the community
sir.
So they can condemn it and then bring in people start all over again with a 30-year mortgage. There was no more crime, no more dope pushing.
And the real,
so
and the real estate people, the real estate people make the most money because you can take an all-white community and then a real estate person approves a black family's loan and move them in knowing that the whites would move out, then they can sell those houses to other black people to move in and turn that to a black area and then sell the houses to the whites that are moving out to other areas to get away from us. I'm telling you, real estate folks had a real scheme too in it. They played a role to facilitate the kind
well,
of things
yes,
that
again,
our natures not complementing each other. They were able to use that to profit from also.
Yeah, but yes. But the key is the drugs were put into the community by the government.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Okay,
I mean,
to the what?
If
to
you,
destroy
if you want, if you want, if you want, I remember, and I remember some highly known black people that had relatives that they brought to get help, and they weren't using any drugs. They were using the tapes for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And these people, and they were drying them out and getting them off of all these different controlled substances. But they definitely came in, I know we had projects here and in Philadelphia, and at one time Abbotsford was number one in the country for safety and everything, but they worked to make sure that the brothers weren't working in there. And the ADL came up with no alternative program because, like you said, they didn't care what the state of the community was in the absence of some real people to help bring down the crime numbers.
Well, I would not say based upon our research that the ADL did not care.
Cared about our community. I don't think they cared about our people and what happened
they cared because they offered no alternative
program. None.
They cared to have us in that position. They cared to have us in that position. We've been, ever since the Nation of Islam started, the Jews have been the ones who've been selling the drugs and the alcohol to our community. So they had to keep their business going with this drug and alcohol to our community, to destroy our community on purpose. Not on the side of it.
Yeah. Well, I can see wanting, you know, our destruction, but I know that they targeted certain communities. Just like now, they call themselves coming up with $105 million in our state to say, you know, we're going to go after this public safety problem that we're having. But that'll be money cast to the wind, because if the solution to our problem, as Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, is divine, then there is no legislation, there is no community program that's going to be successful if it doesn't, because they're not designed to go to the root of our problem. I know that there are Jews involved here with some of that funding, but their communities aren't suffering from what ours are suffering from. But I don't see any real solution coming out of what they're about to spend. And of course, they just made that announcement here, and I'm sure they're doing that in a lot of states across the country. But I thought the Dope Busters did terrific. We had brothers here that were in a part of that effort, and I've seen the transformation for myself of certain areas of housing where we were conditioned and things were set circumstantially to have that unfavorable outcome. But thanks be to Allah, you know, we have defied all their calculations in that, so they say, hey, let's get them out of there altogether. I remember Peter King out of New York working very hard to get any NOI security patrols or anyone like that doing that kind of work out. And I just say now, I know the minister has said, well, the groups that are out there trying to fight now, he wanted to just see them get the FOI training. They want to stay in their groups and everything, but, you know, right now I don't think they're adhering to his words. You know, we see some different results. I appreciate your call,
thank you,
man.
Very much.
I love the work
you all are doing
in there, man. It's helping me. Yes, sir. Thank you, brother, Dr. Mason.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
All right. Happy Savior's Day. Wa alaikum salam. Yes. So you're listening to the voice of student minister Rodney Muhammad. I want to remind you of the website, MinisterAva.com. MinisterAva.com. You go there and find out all about the products and books and things of our dear sister and the things she shared, because they're invaluable. I mean, the things that God gave her to give us because of the pure love that she had for God's man, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. She was able to bring us something so tremendous it'll last us for lifetimes to come. So please go to that website. You can still get some of those things. MinisterAva.com. And our call-in number is 563-999-3065. That's 563-999-3065. I got a little time left. I didn't even get into the water crisis there in Jackson. Mississippi to just talk about, is this something we can expect to come with infrastructure of these old pipes in our cities and stuff and pipes busting? But I think I got some callers on, Sister Donna. Who do we have now?
Oh, we can continue on with your dialogue.
Okay,
the callers
good.
That we have right now.
Okay, do we have a caller on? I didn't know.
No, I do not have a caller on at this time.
Okay.
You can continue
okay.
on, and you have time to go
okay,
into that
good.
Water crisis.
Yes, I want to just I want to go back and cover something because we've been covering it, and as we get ready for Savior's Day, I know. I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's going on in Jackson, Mississippi. And, of course, Chakwe Lumumba's son, the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi. And, you know, Jackson, Mississippi, that's one of the most racist places in the South. I forgot the other state. I think it was Alabama. But Mississippi, and I believe it was Alabama, had the most slaves out of in the whole slave trade. They were supposed to have the most. I know in Mississippi. It was terrible, but Mississippi was so, and Sister Ava and I used to talk about that, they were so racist there. They didn't even need the Ku Klux Klan. They had the White Citizens Council. And this was what Field Secretary for the NAACP, Mega Evers, had to deal with. And, of course, his boycott of Jackson, Mississippi downtown, I still believe to the day that's what got him murdered in front of his family. Though he was trying to register people to vote, and that was drawing a great deal of opposition with white supremacy there in the state of Mississippi. But needless to say, even now, as of August 2022, when the Pearl River ran over due to some severe storms in Mississippi, the Curtis Water Treatment Plant, they were already using backup pumps. When those things failed, it compromised the safety of the drinking water indefinitely in Jackson, Mississippi. And they have been struggling since last summer to really try to bring some normalcy back to Jackson, Mississippi. And remember that we had the same kind of crisis in Flint, Michigan. We had as a guest on from the Nation of Islam, our own brother Marcus Muhammad of Bent Harbor, Michigan, and he sat over his project twice to bring a solution to his city to repair the water systems there. And I believe he was at 96% or 98% remedied from the problems there. And of course, he's using the unequaled wisdom of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as the base of his teaching and how he wants to live. And he brought that into his service to his people there at Benton Harbor. So he's been incredibly successful at bringing about a remedy to the water systems there. But I think some people were trying to get in touch with me, but they're packed here in Philadelphia. Of course, there's a mayoral thing on gun violence tonight, and they're packed wall to wall in there. And we must have 7 or 8 people running for mayor of the city of Philadelphia. So we're seeing how that's coming out also. But the final call is there to get a story on it, so you'll be able to get it in a issue coming up. In the Final Call newspaper from my own Michael Z. Muhammad. But here in Jackson, Mississippi, they were scheduled to get about $429 million to help repair this, but now they're not even getting the money. Look at this. The federal government wants to investigate how the other funds were handled. And the NAACP there had filed a discrimination suit about the practices of how Jackson, which is primarily black populated now, is being treated compared to the rest of the state of Mississippi. And that discrimination played out in how they were funded and how those funds were allocated even before this emergency. So the emergency in Jackson, Mississippi was called off, I believe, in November. they look for a private firm to take over the handling of the water. The mayor, Lumumba, he assesses that they're going to need about $2 billion. There have been breaks in the pipes. As it gets cold in some of these areas, there have been no more than so many blocks, and then you got to break in the pipes and things like this. So pipes are freezing. When you don't have the right systems that can read meters properly, you can't even send people water bills. So you can't generate monies that you desperately need to make the repairs to get things done. So they are still in a crisis, and they're asking now, since it's obviously a black mayor and for all practical purposes a black administration, can they really manage their own water system? This is Benny Thompson now. Benny Thompson sat over the January 6th committee on the attacks on the capital of the country. So you've been seeing him on national television over and over again. But even he's questioning black rule in Jackson, Mississippi, and in handling that. But this may become a thing that will occur over and over again, and it may be coming to a neighborhood near you where pipes start breaking, where water systems start producing unsafe drinking water. Hardly no one drinks water from the faucet now, but the water's not even safe to bathe in, or to shower in, to wash clothes in, and different things. This happened in Flint, Michigan, due to some bad choices of government there, but you know, the governor is not paying a price for it. The government there is not paying a price for it in the state of Michigan with what was done. And I could go on with statistics and things about this water system, but almost everything that we do plays out into something political. And the hardening of the attitudes in the country are reflecting in the government, because many of these people go back out into the country to get they down there in the Beltway, Washington, D.C. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message to us when we were in Detroit was the unraveling of a great nation. It's coming apart at the seams. And we see there's no January 6th mob attacking the Capitol, but we can see them fighting each other. And we can see that as government people who are supposed to be more intelligent and they have constituencies and they have a country to represent, they can't even bring themselves to agreement. And they're fighting up there. It took them nearly 15 rounds of votes just to get a Speaker of the House, and he's got a razor-thin majority that he's working with. And the Senate can knock down anything that they send from the House, even though they have a Republican majority. And you have to remember, it was the rejoined when we first started voting in the land. When we started off in politics in this land, we started out as Republicans. Isn't that something? And the people that were doing the lynchings, burning us at the stake while they sold popcorn and cotton candy and everything, the people responsible for the Jim Crow laws that put horrible conditions on our people and community and great suffering, they were Democrats. Isn't that something? And now you talk to black people about politics and they want nothing to do with the Republicans. But Abraham Lincoln was a Republican, and it was the Republican Party that, for all practical purposes, was fighting for some type of emancipation for black folks. But certainly they didn't want to see us living independent. And that's what our nature and our soul is demanding now, independence. So didn't know what you thought about it, but housing plays a role in that. I mean, who wants to live somewhere and you can't get water? You know, who wants to live somewhere and every morning you got to go out and stand in a line to wait to see if you can get one case, two cases, three cases of water to bring home, because you need water to wash with, you need water to drink, you need water to cook with, because what's coming out of your sink isn't fit for anybody to deal with. And they're still under a boil water advisory, and it may have just come off in the last week or two there in Jackson, Mississippi. And I'm not raising this story just to look toward Jackson. This may be coming to a neighborhood near you. And the times in this country are coming. Planes are almost crashing into each other. People are hiring people to go shoot and kill people who beat them in office. They run a campaign, stand to lose a campaign now. You're sending people to kill people, so they just put this man in jail. I'm telling you, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us this country was unraveling. And I think all of us know what something looks like when it's unraveling. Well, take a look at the United States of America and tell me that they have their act together. Well, the Quran says that a woman, she sews this garment, her yarn, and it's strong, and that represents a strong government, a country that's strong, that came together. It's unraveling now. They can't unify on anything. And black folks are like spectators. They're never going to let you tear this country apart, tearing it apart themselves in the name of protecting their people against any progressive thoughts you may have, against people abroad and everything. And if you just keep watching, you'll see the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan unfold and be made manifest right here in these United States of America. We're going towards Savior's Day. We hope that Elevated Places will have a spot there so that they can do as they always did when we were open for the whole weekend and everyone came in, that a show can be done live right there at Savior's Day. And people can be right there in the audience. You won't be necessarily by phone then, because you can be right there like they are when they're in these studios on television. I know that Ava would be proud to see that Brother Darius has kept this going. Sister Donna, our producer here, she's so we trust her so, and we lean on her a lot to help keep things going and let us know what's going on, so we kind of know what to do next. I think this is my third time hosting the Elevated Places. There are going to be some other great folks coming on even before Savior's Day that are going to be sharing with us, and that we're planning some activities this weekend. So we're excited in Philadelphia about our second Imam of the Nation coming to be with us for the weekend. That's Brother Salam, the student minister of Mosque Number 6 in Baltimore, Maryland. And now he's the second imam of our nation here. And he and Imam Sultan Rahman out of Chicago now working very close together. And we see how that's going to play out. But certainly we're going to see them, inshallah, Savior's Day, heading up our Salat al-Juma on the Friday. I'm being told that he'll be on with us on Elevated Places next week. So you can be tuning in, and we hope we're tuning in all over the country. Our sister worked so hard to build this programming up because our feeding needs to go on and on. You know, much of what we're getting from these regular traditional programming, for news that we watch, they're all kind of considerations that they make before giving us the news. But here on Elevated Places, tell the truth regardless to whom or what. That's what we know from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And believe me, people can handle the truth. See, they of a mindset now. You can't tell the people the truth. We'll set in a panic, so we have to lie to them or either withhold the truth from them because we want to keep some kind of peace and order. Keeping truth from people disturbs the peace because you can't get peace without justice, and you can't get justice without truth. So hiding the truth is sure to bring about injustice, will set up in the people a dissatisfaction and unhappiness and disappointment, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, because of the hiding of the truth. So this kind of programming is invaluable, and getting books and feeding our minds so that we can make better moves and consideration. When I look in the book of Exodus and I see all of the women losing their boy babies because of the edict of Pharaoh, kill their male children and spare their female children. Well, how did Jehoshabed keep her son Moses? She was an informed woman. So to be a black woman today with children, can't afford to be ignorant to what's going on out here. You need to be an informed woman. And based on the quality of knowledge that you're feeding from, that's the degree of preparation you'll have set up. If you don't know the truth about what's going on, you won't think certain things are even possible or that somebody is capable of doing something like what they're doing. I listened to Sister Charlene telling us about the things that they're doing. Read the pages that Dr. Ridgely and others do for the final call, and we see what they're capable of, and it follows the script that's in Gordell's The Slave Code. And the slave code is that our bodies were brought to these United States of America for three things. One, physical labor. Two, breeding to produce more children. And number three, our bodies were used for experimentation to further medical science. Those are the three things that our bodies are used for. That's a code they live by. It's a policy in this land of how we're done. So we should never forget that and treat our bodies like what they are, the temple for the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. And when we go in for Savior's Day, I know one of the things that's been on the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's mind is the health of us. Are we healthy? And you can't be healthy if you're not trying your best to eat right, 100% to a diet that you should be on every day. You should be as near to it as possible. But God help us if we've drifted away from it so far that what's on our plate is totally unrecognizable to what's there in the book, How to Eat to Live, Book 1 and 2. So let's go to work and bring ourselves back into order. Last night I was teaching about the cybernetic instrument, and it's instruments that are built into computer programming so that a goal is set in the programming, and anytime there's deviation from the goal, the cybernetic device detects deviation, makes the correction, and brings the thing back to the corrective state. Look what the devil says in the Quran. I'll cause them to deviate. I can't make them deviate, but I can set the cause up, and the effect will be that they will deviate. But if you got a cybernetic mindset, you begin to detect when you're deviating from something, then helps you to bring yourself back to a corrected state. And I think, family, that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan would love to see us doing everything that we can to be the way that we need to be, because we have invested so many years into trying to make ourselves better people. And guess what? We can do it. Look what we have done just in this time with ourselves. And don't put yourself down because you think you should be so much further down. Any of us can do better. The biggest room in life is the room for improvement, yes, but be grateful and thankful to Allah for the steps that you have been able to take. That's the kind of encouragement that will keep in the right direction. And so I know our health is important. So go in the book, Torchlight for America. He talks about what we need to do. You know, our mind and our soul needs exercise. That's our prayer life, feeding the mind on truth and right guidance, along with other intelligent material and things like that, exercising our physical form to keep our bodies in good shape. You know, there's a reason we didn't celebrate our birthdays when we came in the Nation of Islam. And I used to think when I came in, well, it's because of the Savior. We only concentrate on his birthday, February 26th. But it wasn't to annul my birth and your birth coming into the world. But God intends to reverse age. He intends to set you back. And if you read in Our Savior Has Arrived, he intends to reverse your age to as if you were to age 16 again. So a God that wants to take you back in one direction, why would I be driving in the opposite direction of the one that he wants to take me? So there's no sense in me talking about, well, I'm 80 years old, you know, I'm getting old now, that kind of thing. This God wants to take me back in another direction. That's the program I need to be on. Our enemies are selling you some of everything out here to try to make you feel like you've taken those years off and gone back to some fountain of youth. But the real fountain of youth is right there in How to Eat to Live as a beginning. And then you can't just eat right. You got to think right. So, you know, family, I know we're coming down to a matter of minutes before this programming will end. But believe me, the selection for the name of this show, Elevated Places, the seventh surah of the Holy Quran, and it was from an elevated place that the one who came and raised the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came from. So I've got good time. I'm being notified, so that's good. But just think about it for a minute as we go into Savior's Day, because I don't like when people go to Savior's Day and then they spend the whole weekend and then they get home and can't give you a decent explanation of who the Savior is. You know, so when you tell people, I'm going to Savior's Day, I'm going to our Savior's Day convention, read up about this man who came and why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, directed us to this man's birth and that, because this is so important for us. But he comes from an elevated place. And why would he leave an elevated place? As we have taught, heaven is not up in the sky. It's an elevated plane of existence right here on earth. There are people, if you are halfway trying to live this teaching, you're in an elevated state from what you were before you came to Islam. So imagine a person so cleaned up, perfected all his attributes, lives and thinks on a level that I can't even communicate with him. You know, the people said to Moses, we want to see God manifestly. You're not even in a condition to talk with God. That's what Moses was trying to do. Moses said, that's why God gave you me. And you talk to me. And as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, if I'm not perfect, I'm perfect enough for you. You know, we're not so perfect that we can sit and judge somebody that's teaching us. And I would extend that to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's leadership. Somebody, you know, just trying to say, well, you know, nobody's perfect, Brother Rodney. Yeah, well, he's perfect enough for us. And they can't go and produce me somebody else that's living better than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He should have a gift because we teach people that there is no heaven when you die and you put down in the ground. You're not getting ready to go up in some heavenly existence and live in some other city somewhere up in the sky. No. Heaven is right here on earth after the rule of the wicked. It's called the hereafter, not the thereafter, right? And so we have a duty. If you're going to teach somebody that, then we all have a duty to represent as best we can heaven right here on earth. The best part of that representation is our attitudes and our spirits, even just toward one another. And then seek his kingdom and all its righteousness therein. We are promised that the things we desire in life would be added on. But don't make them the pursuit. Make your righteousness the pursuit, because your and my righteousness, the kingdom and all its righteousness, it turns us into a magnet. And the things that we desire, we start, it's a law of attraction. Anybody that's going to go from what they call rags to riches, everybody got to get there the same way, through laws, except for a thief and a robber. Through laws. And God knows that we're created with purpose. That's why you can have billions of dollars and still feel empty inside, still be unhappy inside, because the dollars don't fulfill your purpose. There's something you got to relate to and something you got to do to fulfill your purpose. So, family, we have a lot to think on. But even more than that, we have a lot to be grateful for going into this Savior's Day. And so taking responsibility for building a nation, knowing that it takes sacrifice on our part. We sacrifice time. We sacrifice our resources for nation building. That's what people do that build nations. And you're not going to go in history and read about nobody that got their independence and built their own nation that didn't sacrifice something. Some sacrificed their lives in that. And we have in a real way sacrificed our lives. That's why the Bible says, you know, offer your bodies up as a living sacrifice. We don't need a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Let's show up to our meetings and not forsake our assembling one with the other. And let's show up for our Savior's Day in big numbers, as the hotel rooms that have all been reserved, that we're getting ready to have a fantastic convention in Chicago the last week of February. So as we get ready to close out, be sure to keep getting the Final Call newspaper. And if you can afford it, get 5 or 6 extra papers that you can give to a neighbor, give to a loved one or somebody, and they can start reading it perchance. You know, but people are coming around to this truth. And the more events unfold and it gets darker and darker in the world than it already is, we have to have a light on, because that light ultimately will be the only light that's shining in the land if we do what we're supposed to do. So, you know, we are grateful for this program, this platform, Elevated Places. I'm grateful to Brother Darius, his love for his wife to keep this going. It was a passion for Sister Ava, and I know I'm getting the signal that we've got to get ready to close out. But I thank all those that called tonight to just be a part and to weigh in. Tell people about Elevated Places, and if you're a regular listener, when you get to Savior's Day, they'll get information out to you to find out where they're going to be staged to have a show right there. So, but I thank you all. I thank Brother Darius and Sister Ava's family for just allowing me to host and be a part of this great effort nationwide. Let's not forget the Project Separation. and getting land where we can really express ourselves, someplace where we can stand and build our own homes and set up our own code of conduct and how we're going to live and start building our own communities. If people can leave the caves and hillsides of Europe and build towns and villages and everything after Musa came, then doggone it, we can do something in these United States of America. They are history of how you can take a wild, savage existence and start building something that looks a little more like civilization than what they had initially. And so our condition could be like the cave dwellers, but now light has come to us, knowledge has come. And if we obey these laws, we establish for ourselves a culture and a code of conduct that will take us out of this. So we are blessed to have had this time with you, and we thank God for each and every one of you. Sister Donna, has the time come up? It's hard for me to see from the phone.
Yes, sir.
But,
we are there. I thank you so much.
So
we are there.
So I just say in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we thank him for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, his exalted servant, the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan, his Messiah even, as God has evolved him. And we thank him for his own coming in the person of Master Farrakh Muhammad, to whom praises due forever. I thank you, Brother Darius, the family. Thank you so much, Sister Donna. And thank you, Sister Charlene, for your input tonight and all of you who called in tonight for Elevated Places. God bless you all. Assalamu alaikum.